Good evening, church. How many had a nap this afternoon? I want to find out, the rest of you, that you did not have a nap this afternoon. How many hadn't had supper yet? How many have McDonald's wrappers in your floorboard? Maybe you ate while you came. I just kind of like to know about my audience and kind of where you are. I don't know about you. This is a great audience from where I'm standing, and I'm really glad that you came back tonight. And for those watching online, we're thankful that you're with us as well. I'm just really thankful and tickled that we got to do this week. I got a little worried when I began to hear that Kentucky's a red state. And I thought, oh my. I looked on my phone every day this week looking to see if I was getting a message from Bart saying, sorry, but I never got that message. So I'm just really tickled that we got to have this time together. And I appreciate your being here tonight. I appreciate our time together. You listened so good this morning. Bart has taught you how to listen. And there were so many folks that took notes. And I hope that you'll do that again tonight as we study really an important section of Scripture. I am really glad you're here. I believe every one of us needs the lesson that we're about to study. We're going to be on one page of the text again. If you've heard me preach through the years, you know that what I kind of like to do. I like to go to one place and just plow and just dig and enrich in Scripture. Every time you read the Bible, you need to read it like you're reading it for the first time. Every time you read the text, you need to read it like you're reading it for the very first time. Let me tell you something I discovered just a few months ago. I didn't realize that Adam was with Eve when she got tempted. I didn't know that. I thought she did that by herself. And I'm reading the text, and it says Adam was right there, and I went, whoa, I've never seen that before in Scripture. Every time you read the text, you can learn something new about yourself and about your relationship with God. I hope you can do that tonight. Turn your Bibles to John chapter number 20, the Gospel of John chapter number 20. As you're getting your, by the way, let's have Bible check. Hold them up. Bible check. No songbooks. That's great. Bart, would you please look around? Do that again. Hold them up. Would you look? That is great. That is really, really good. In John chapter 20, is a part of a great, great writing from probably the last apostle of the who was an eyewitness to Jesus. John's a pretty old man by now, and he writes from a unique perspective. In his writing, 90% of the Gospel of John is not found in any other gospel. There are no parables in John. Matthew is kind of the teacher. When you read Matthew, it sounds like you're sitting at the feet of a teacher. Mark's account, he's just straight to the point. Anybody remember that detective show several years ago, Just the Facts, Ma'am? You remember that TV show? If you remember that, I know how old you are. But Mark kind of gives you the facts. He's kind of the play-by-play sports announcer. These facts about whatever the story's talking about. Luke gives you a lot of details, and you expect that from Luke. John writes from a perspective of us really trying to understand the heart of God, of Jesus Christ. In fact, John's purpose is to paint a picture of Jesus. If all of our teaching and preaching is not helping us become more like Jesus, something is wrong somewhere. True or false? You weren't ready for that. Let me ask it again. If our teaching and preaching is not helping us become more and more like Jesus, something is wrong somewhere. Because that's what this whole thing is about, becoming more and more like Jesus. John tries to paint a picture, a complete picture of Jesus. So when you and I read the Gospel of John, it's a pretty important thing to read because of his purpose. I want you to look at the last couple of verses in John chapter number 20. Because there we read the purpose of his writing, and it's pretty plain why he wrote what he wrote when he gives us the Gospel of John. Look at the last two verses in John chapter number 20. Verse number 30 reads like this. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Tune in this phrase. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Andy, what's the big deal about verse number 31? John is writing to people who probably were not eyewitnesses of Jesus. John writes from a perspective as writing to second-generation Christians, people who had not seen Jesus after his resurrection. That includes you and me. So John wrote what he wrote to help you and me see a clearer picture of Jesus. Let me give you another context of John, of the writing really of the Gospel of John. The second generation Christians, many of them were being persecuted because of their following Jesus. Many of them had lost their jobs. Many of them had lost their businesses. The young people would have been blackballed in their schools because they were followers of Jesus. So John writes what he writes to encourage that group of folks. They, because of their persecutions and because of the up against it lifestyles they were living, some were wondering, is it really worth it? Is it really worth following Jesus for me to go through what I'm going through and lose what I've lost? Is it really worth it? So John writes this gospel to help people believe that Jesus really is the Son of God and that it's worth whatever you got to go through to follow him. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? That's what John's all about. He's writing something for people that didn't see Jesus. That includes you and me. And he writes this so that you and I might come to faith in Jesus, that we might become followers of Jesus, that you and I might be baptized into Christ and live a life for him. That's why John wrote what he wrote. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good way to end a book. It sounds really good to end your writing right there. In fact, I don't know about your Bible, but I've used this Bible so many years in preaching, all my pages are sticking together. I guess all that sweat from my fingers. And therefore, if I'm not careful and I turn the page, I'll miss John chapter 21. And I don't want you to do that, because now the stage is set for a very, very important lesson that I want every one of us to get tonight. I'm going to ask you tonight, again, tie your shoelaces tight, lean forward. We're about to be challenged from the Word of God. Here's the story. John wrote what he wrote that you and I might become believers. But Jesus has got some unfinished business. Jesus has got some unfinished business with the Apostle Peter. So one story before the Gospel of John ends becomes really, really important. Got a question for you. Your best friend knifed you in the back. Your best friend turned on you. What do? Write him up in your church bulletin? Never speak to him again, or fix a breakfast for him? Well, let's see what Jesus did, because we're about to read an encounter with Jesus' best friend who turned on him. Apostle Peter, good guy or bad guy? You answered me, and that's just about right. Good guy, but he wasn't perfect, was he? How many of us would like to be more like the Apostle Paul? Strong, courageous. But how many of us are more like the Apostle Peter? And my hand goes up. My hand goes up. John chapter 21, Jesus has got some unfinished business with his best friend who turned on him. Let's read together John chapter 21 and look at some valuable lessons that I want us to get about our lives. Let me say one more thing about John 21. John chapter 21 is a lesson to people who have spiritually crashed and burned. John chapter 21 is a lesson to people who have goofed big time. Peter denied that he even knew Jesus at a time when Jesus needed his friendship the most. He spiritually crashed and burned. Those of us in this room, I don't know where you've been in your walk with God. There may be a moment in your life when you've crashed and burned. Probably there will be times in our life when we have sinned and embarrassed ourselves, embarrassed maybe our family. What do you do when you've spiritually crashed and burned? That's John chapter 21. Now let's study it together, beginning verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. Now, who are those guys? Who are the sons of Zebedee? James and John. And two other of the disciples. Simon Peter, verse 3, said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Stop right here. Peter's probably thinking, there's no way that the Lord's ever going to be able to use me again. I embarrassed him. I turned on him. I'm so disappointed in myself. He will never be able to use me again. I know he won't let me be an apostle. So I'm just going to go back and do what I did before I came to Jesus. I'm going back fishing. He was a professional fisherman. And he's thinking, if Jesus can't use me anymore because of my goof, I'll just go back fishing. If I count it right, there's about six more guys that went with him, and they're out there fishing. Let's continue reading in verse number 4. When the morning was, let's go back to verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Who are the fishermen and fisherwomen in the room? Got fishermen or fisherwomen in the room? I didn't say good fishermen or good fisherwomen, just fishermen. Peter and his six buddies have gone back fishing, and they fished all night and didn't catch anything. Now it's the next morning. Look in verse 4. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I'm reading the King James Bible. We're going to read it. Andy Baker paraphrase in a second, but look at verse 5. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. If you and I were out at the nearest lake fishing, would you have said, do you have any meat? That's not how we would say it, would it? How would you say that in Glasgow? You caught anything? How many fish have you caught? Hey, what's the fishing like out there? That's what Jesus asked the disciples. They fished all night. They hadn't caught anything. Hey, how are you guys doing? Have you caught anything? Look in verse number 6 or verse number 5. They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. If there are replays in heaven, I want to see this one. Would anybody like to see this miracle? If there are replays in heaven, I want to see this one. I want to see them pull up the fish, and they couldn't pull them in because there were so many fish that's there. Look at this story. It gets even better. Look in verse, if you will. Look in verse number 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I need to apologize to you right at this moment. I don't know how to say those words. I know what the words were that were spoken, but I don't know how to say them. Did he say, it's the Lord? Or did he raise his voice maybe? It's the Lord. I don't know how he said those words. We can see what words were spoken, but I don't know how he said those words to Peter. In the middle of verse number 7, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He had taken off his outer coat so he could fish better. And when he finds out that's Jesus on shore, he put his coat on and you ever tried to swim in a bathrobe? That's what Peter's doing right here. He's got a bathrobe on, and now he's swimming to shore, and he's about to encounter Jesus. We've got some unfinished business with Jesus and Peter. Let's keep reading. Look in verse number 8. The other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, as it were 200 cubits. That's about 100 yards. So the boat was about 100 yards out when this story continues. They were dragging the net with fishes. Verse number 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto him, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Let's picture the scene. It's morning. These guys are tired from fishing all night long. They caught nothing. And here this rookie on the seashore, the rookie fisherman would be Jesus. You caught anything? No. If you put your nets on the other side, you'll catch some fish. And when they did that, what happened? Caught a bunch of fish. He's not as much of a rookie as they thought he was. So they drag the fish, and now they're on shore, and they notice that Jesus is preparing fish for breakfast. How many eat fish for breakfast in the morning time? That's not really what you usually do. Remember a moment ago I asked you, if your best friend turned on you, what would you do? Would you write him up in your church bulletin? Would you avoid them from now on, or would you fix them breakfast? Jesus fixed breakfast for the one that turned on him when he needed him the most. The story continues to unfold. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. Jesus said, bring of the fish which ye now caught. So Simon Peter went out and drew the net to and full of great fishes, 153. Got a question for you. How did they know there was 153 fishes? I didn't see any hands raised a minute ago of those that claim to be fishermen or fisherwomen. But when you go fishing, you always know how many fish you caught, true or false. You know how many fish you've caught. I took my grandson fishing about 3 Saturdays ago. He still reminds me of the catch. He caught 12. I caught 1. I still hear about that fishing trip. You know how many fish you catch when you're fishing. How did they know they had 153? There's only one of two ways it happened. 1, 2, 3, 4. Or Jesus could have said, there's 153 there. Doesn't that sound like something Jesus would do? There's 153 fish. Well, now Jesus has prepared a nice, nice breakfast. By the way, the last time Peter was sitting by a fire, what did he do? He denied that he even knew the Lord. I got an idea every time that Peter got around a fire, he remembered that day. I got an idea that every time he smelt smoke, he might have recalled what he did. Listen, let's watch them come together here. Read with me, if you will, continue in verse number 11, or verse number 12. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples asking who he was, because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Simon, when they had dined, let's stop right there. Picture the scene. It's Jesus and Simon. Tell me what Simon thinking about himself. There's no way the Lord can use me anymore because of my sin. I embarrassed him. I embarrassed myself. I let him down so badly. There's no way that the Lord will ever want to use me again. Eyeballs right here. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that about your life, that there's no way God can ever use me again because of, I'll let you fill in the line. That's exactly where Peter was. And now it's Jesus and it's Peter. What the text doesn't tell us is how this time elapsed. If there were several seconds or a few minutes when they're just sitting there, it's just now Jesus and Peter. But Jesus has some unfinished business he wants to take care of with the Apostle Peter. So they're sitting there at the fire, and Jesus says this, Peter, do you love me? What'd Peter say? Yeah. A second time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? What'd Peter say? Yep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? What'd Peter say? Lord, you know that I love you. Any significance to asking Peter 3 times if he loved him? Any significance there? Exactly. He's got some unfinished business with Peter. You see, Jesus wants, are you listening? Jesus wants Peter to know that he's forgiven and they are okay. Now, go back to work. After he said, yes, Lord, I love you, what did Jesus have him tell him to do? Go feed my sheep 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then go feed my sheep. Here's the lesson for you and for me. God's more concerned about where you're going than where you've been. Is that good news or not? That's good news. He's more concerned about where you're headed than where you've been. And every one of us can recall times in our life when we sinned. And maybe we sinned one of the big sins. You know what big sins are, don't you? Big sins are ones you commit. Little sins are the ones I commit. Isn't that the way can we view that? But sometimes we get thinking, there's just no way the Lord can ever use me. I can't lead prayer anymore because I've goofed. I've embarrassed myself. I've let Jesus down. So Jesus, his unfinished business is this. He wants Peter to know they're okay. Now go back to work. Jesus wants Peter to know, Okay, your past is in the past. Now, where are we right now? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then would you go back to work and feed my sheep? A second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then again, get back to work. A third time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then let's go back to work. I need your eyes right here with mine. Got a question for you. Do you love Jesus? Maybe you didn't hear me. Is this on? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Then go back to work. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Then accept his forgiveness and go back to work. Do you love Jesus? And the whole church said, yes. Then accept your forgiveness and go back to work. You see, this breakfast was for Peter's benefit. Jesus had some unfinished business with Peter. He wanted Peter to know, we're okay. And I want you to know, if you have laid before the Lord your sin and confessed that sin and have enjoyed the forgiveness of the precious blood of Jesus, things between you and Jesus are okay. Is that good news to hear or not? In fact, let me tell you just what good news that is. Are you ready? Closing illustration, and we're going to close. You've listened great again tonight. Here's the lesson I want you to get. We're going to get in Steve's vehicle tonight after worship is over, and we're going to drive north. Psalm 103 says, the Lord removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. We're going to get in Steve's vehicle, and we're going to start driving north. We're going to keep driving north, and after a while, his car is going to become a boat. We're going to get on the water, but we're going to keep on driving north. And after a while, we stop going north, and we start doing what? Didn't hear you. Start driving south. The passage in Psalm 103, that's not what that passage said. The passage said, the Lord removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Well, how far is the east from the west? Let's get in Steve's vehicle again. We're going to start driving east. And we're going to come to the water, and his vehicle is going to become a boat. We're going to keep on going. And we're going to keep on going east. Do we ever start going west? Never. So tell me how far the east is from the west. Do you get that illustration? Does that make sense? You see, when God forgives, he never brings it up again. You bring up my past. You put my past on that screen. I'm embarrassed. But because of the precious blood of Jesus, every one of us can be okay with God. Not because of how good we did it, but because of what he did on the cross for our sins. Is that good news to anybody in the room? Isn't that exciting news to know? I bet you Jesus might have some unfinished business with some in this very room. That's why I ask you again. Do you love Jesus? Then go back to work. Forgive yourself and go back to work. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Then go back to work. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Then accept his forgiveness and go back to work. Does Jesus have some unfinished business with you? Tonight, accept his forgiveness. Accept his forgiveness that's so wonderful for every one of us based on what he did for us on the cross. As I told you this morning in the Bible class, do you realize that the worst day in the life of Jesus was the best day in our lives when the death on the cross provided salvation for every one of us? If you love Jesus, accept forgiveness. If you need to confess sin, maybe you don't need to come down an aisle. Maybe you just need to pray where you're standing in just a moment and say, Lord, please forgive me and help me to forgive myself. That's sometimes more difficult than forgiving yourself, isn't it? Well, accept your forgiveness and go back to work. We've got kingdom work to do. We've got a world that needs to hear about Jesus. More than ever, this world needs to hear about Jesus. In fact, the only hope for this world is the Lord Jesus Christ, true or false? That's the only hope the world has, and you and I know that good news. So accept the Lord's forgiveness. If you need to come down this aisle and let's pray together as a family, that's what this moment is really all about, because there might be some unfinished business with you and your Lord. realize you do love the Lord. Now let's go back to work and fill our lives with kingdom work until he calls us home. And while we're going, do it like this. Put your head in the book. Put your head in Scripture. Put your eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on the brethren. Because if we get comparing ourselves with each other, we might look at someone and say, I'll never have Bart's faith. But the other folks in this church, I get looking pretty good in my walk with God compared to you. So don't put your eyes on others. You put your head where? In the book. Put your eyes focused on Jesus. Put your knee on the floor in prayer often. And keep your feet with the brothers and sisters. It ain't so easy to get bent out of shape with each other. Isn't that so easy to do? You keep your feet with the brothers and sisters. We need one another. And busy your hands doing the work that Jesus would do if he was here. Terry, if Jesus was the bank president, I wonder how he would do that business. To the contractors in this room, the builders, if Jesus was a contractor, tell me about the building that he'd build. If Jesus was a student, tell me how he would do his work. If Jesus, you get my illustration, just busy yourself doing the work that Jesus would do if he was here. Put your head in the book. Put your eyes on Jesus. Put your knees on the floor in prayer. Keep your feet with one another. And busy your hands doing the work of Jesus. Go back to work as you accept his forgiveness. Steve has chosen us a song for us to sing. I'll let him decide how many verses we sing. But did you get the lesson that God gave Peter? He had some unfinished business. Maybe you and I need to accept forgiveness and go back to work for our Lord as well. Would you sing with great joy? Would you sing with great enthusiasm as we sing this song? If all is okay between you and God, sing with great, great joy. But if we need to pray together as family or immerse you into Jesus Christ tonight, we'd love to do that very thing. Let this song and this moment be a really important time in your life as we respond again to our Lord Jesus. Would you stand together? Let's worship in song. Steve? Let